A court in Portugal ruled that PCR COVID tests were unfit for purpose, meaning they were not a reliable or a legal means for restricting people's movement and freedoms. And yet Portugal did exactly that for over 2 years, and so did Europe. So Portuguese lawyer and political analyst Alexandre Guerreiro joins us to discuss this. So thank you so much. You and I were here in Portugal during the pandemic. We know that these were used as rule of law. Can you explain how this is now broken up by this case?
Yes. Yeah, so once again, it's a pleasure to join you here and to speak about all these issues. So the case was basically very simple. It was four people, four tourists that were in Azores Islands, and they were forced to stay in quarantine and confined because one of them had or was diagnosed with COVID-19. It was several years ago. It was not in the beginning, but it was more or less 4 years ago. What happened next, it was that they filed a claim claiming that they needed to be released because they were being forced to stay in the hotel for an undetermined period because local authorities were forcing them to stay there due to one PCR test. What happened next was that the court recognized that there was no scientific reason to keep them confined and arrested, because this is how they felt, arrested at home without coming to the streets or making their daily life in a normal way. And then there was an appeal, and what the appeals chamber decided was pretty curious, because they quoted several studies demonstrating that the PCR tests could in 97% of the times come up with fake positive results. And thanks to this, many people were forced to stay at home. Otherwise, they were committing crimes during COVID time, during the pandemic. So this is wild, because this is not an isolated case. We had hundreds, not to say thousands, of people in Portugal and everywhere, millions of people everywhere, that were forced to stay at home just due to the PCR tests that declared that they had COVID. And now the question is, why were all those people forced to stay at home and to respond for committing crimes, when actually there's not enough scientific evidence that can demonstrate that these PCR tests were enough to demonstrate that they were able to pass and to transmit the virus to other people close to them?
Now, this is outrageous, and the judges further ruled that only a doctor can diagnose somebody with something like this, which stands to reason, but it feels to me that the entire culture in Portugal just laid down and said, this is the way it is, we're gonna do this, we're gonna follow the rules. And it's interesting that it was a German tourist who said, no, these are my freedoms, I'm going to contest this. Because as you said, when we spoke about this earlier, this is a forbidden topic. People in Portugal don't like it, and they don't like the mirror that it held up against society that we didn't really push back here.
That's true. People here don't like and don't appreciate much when their convictions, their beliefs are challenged, because they have a strong belief that things are like they were told that they were. And then suddenly comes the lack of scientific evidence, or in contrary, scientific evidence demonstrating exactly the opposite. For example, the most recent results that have came out to the public concerning the efficiency of the vaccines, All of those, for example, they are kept in silence because they don't want people to know that many of those vaccines that were then administered to people, actually they have less efficient results than they were announced that they would have, as well as secondary effects that back then it was promised to people that there were no side effects, there was nothing going to happen to the person that took the vaccines. And then suddenly now we have more and more cases and more studies, because only in the long term you can make this kind of studies, demonstrating that actually those vaccines might be more dangerous than they were when they were announced by the government. But you know what? There was something back then that should have called the attention of everyone, not only in Portugal, but worldwide. It was that the companies responsible for developing these vaccines, they denied any kind of responsibility for side effects, and they passed this responsibility for the governments. So they were not sure of what they were doing, or to some extent they were, but they just did not want to be held liable for that. And this should be worrying, because here in Portugal, from time to time, this kind of topic comes in one or another news outlet, but no one dares to debate or to analyze this, because yes, it was a strong conviction and a belief. So no one wants to challenge that.
Right. Now, I wonder what kind of recourse this has, not only for people who were in Portugal at the time, but also the European Union, because now this is a court precedent saying that these PCR tests were not a legal or reliable way to restrict freedom. But that's exactly what happened. And I think to myself, this is just one. I have three children, and they were diagnosed with COVID in domino order. Every 2 weeks, one of them was. So we continued to test in order for them to go back to school. And then 2 weeks later, the second child, and 2 weeks later, the third child. And I was testing negative, which meant they kept me in quarantine for 6 weeks, because every 2 weeks I had a new child and was considered at risk based on these totally bunk tests. And I feel furious about that. The trips that you can't take, the hundreds of euros that I spent on PCR tests to fulfill these requirements. So not only the disruption to our lives, but the sheer cost of testing everybody above 12, every grandmother, every aunt, all of that stuff. Is there any recourse for us, either residents or in Portugal or Europe?
If you can demonstrate the damages that were caused to you, and for example, I'm thinking about all of those who were connected to some kind of activity that demanded that they were independent workers. So they rely only on their own income and on their own job of their activities, which means that if they are unfit to work, they can't get any kind of income, and they can lose clients, they can lose whatever that they want that was coming from their activity. So if you can demonstrate the damages resulting from this kind of PCR tests and from these decisions in such cases, you can actually put the state of Portugal in court and demand that they become liable for all the damages caused, especially because what's at stake here, it's not only that, but like you said, to be forbidden to travel, to do just to come to the street, your mental health was in jeopardy back then. And what you can do in such cases, it was that you had your fundamental rights being violated. And there are a lot of fundamental rights, even the fundamental right to have access to the family gathering. That's a fundamental right. The fundamental right to work, the fundamental right to pursue an economic activity, everything. So if you can demonstrate how much you have lost, for example, not only the way it affected you in person and mental on a mentally basis, for example, if you needed back then and until now to go to a shrink, for example, to take some medicines because of the state of anxiety where you have fallen, and also to demonstrate all the losses of income that you had, then it's highly likely that you can put the Portuguese state to become liable for all of that. Because back then there were no studies, there were only convictions, ideologies, and yet they did not hesitate, not only in Portugal, but worldwide, they did not hesitate to put everybody at home, staying at home, and based on PCR tests that in 97% of the times, they bring fake positive results, which now, is a very high rate.
Yes, but on the news, we saw case numbers going up and up and up based on these tests. So what does that say about the case numbers? And then you recall that there were two periods at least when the government told us, oh, case numbers are high, so we have new quarantine rules. And the rules were these stupid rules where we had to be home by 1 p.m. on the weekends. That, I mean, as exactly. If that was the stupidest thing And we did it because we had to, or else you would get arrested, using these case numbers, which we now know were based on unreliable tests. So what do we conclude then about case numbers?
No, that actually we were fooled all the time. They just threw up to everyone, to the public, a lot of numbers just to keep the people frightened, just like that. Because I remember in the beginning, in the first months, each time I was watching the news and everybody were watching the news, and there were the numbers of deaths coming from Italy, from Spain. Come on, 600 people died in one day, 1,000 people died in one day. This was the beginning to make everyone feel scared. And after that, they came with all of these numbers on a daily basis. They were presenting and showing the numbers, saying that everyone was in danger. They even suggested at first that we couldn't even touch specific objects where other people used to touch. So this was supposed to make people freak out and to be so afraid of this threat that we would be able to accept everything that was adopted. And this was just the beginning because, as you know, in the early days of this month, on June 1st, there was a huge demonstration in Switzerland against the World Health Organization. And also because the World Health Organization, although they do not have powers to bind the states to any kind of decision coming from the WHO, however, they did not hesitate to try to push decisions and recommendations to force the countries to abide and to feel that they have to follow everything that WHO recommends to every country. And I also remember something that were some presidents of some countries, for example, in Brazil, President Bolsonaro, who was accused of committing genocide, and he was accused by some activist groups of committing crimes against humanity because he did not decide to put people in quarantine. The same was about to be prepared by President Trump at the same time, as you remember. So what about all these damages? Because this was also used for political purposes by the opposition.
Right, that's a good point. That's a good point. So then I guess what I'm wondering is how this works, because Portuguese now law has this precedent-setting case that people were harmed based on falsified tests or unreliable tests. So can this now apply to other EU nations?
I hope that this at least inspire EU nations, but I haven't seen much about this kind of decision from the Portuguese court. I don't think they are pretty interested on inspire other countries with this kind of decision. Because what's interesting here, Natalie, is that the appeals chamber, they did not just decide that the PCR tests were not able to define if a person was infected or not. They quoted scientific studies. And it was not an opinion article written in a newspaper.
Right.
It was scientific articles and studies. And the more scientific studies we have, and the more scientific studies we take a look, at least to evaluate them, the more we feel that we were fooled by the government.
Yes, tortured as well, because Portuguese testers, swab testers, had a reputation for being the most aggressive. They were brutal. They went way into your nose as opposed to anywhere else I took it. It felt like it was purposeful torture, so...
Possibly, because in such conditions, we were able and we were willing to accept anything that they decided to impose on people. So this is part of the so-called PSYOPs. And here they work perfectly. But now what frightens me the most is to see that decisions like this from the appeals chamber, actually, people don't care. People don't, they read it, but okay, this time is gone, so I just don't care. This worries me. Here in Portugal, people don't have the same impulse and spirit like we have in other countries.
Right. Well, I am muito zangada. That means I'm super mad about it. So I am so glad to talk to you about that. Thank you so much. You can follow Alexandre Guerreiro on YouTube. It's Alexandre Guerreiro PT. Also on X as well. I think it's A Guerreiro, right?
A T Guerreiro.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you again for coming on Redacted. Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure, Natalie.